troubled times. I believe a lot of us will not deny that Hong Kong is in a troubled time at the moment. And we don't even know if things will suddenly escalate, or whether Lai Chi Kok Road will be blocked or not, and if the MTR station is still open this afternoon. It's a difficult time to be a Hong Kong resident at the moment. Do you agree? Yeah. And apart from the larger social, political environment, maybe you are also going through some other troubled times, tough times. Maybe thinking about tonight, some might have to return home and face a sick parent or a baby child that needs to take care of. And oh, my sleep is going to be deprived. I need to wake up to feed the baby again. Or think about tomorrow, back at work. Oh, many tasks are waiting for you, the demands. And you might have heard that workplace is a battlefield. Survival of for the fittest. And in fact, life itself might look like a battlefield when there's so many problems and it struggles to get through each day. And furthermore, the Christian life is always a battlefield, with the evil one, our enemy, lurking around looking for opportunities to devour us. What brings us through troubled times? When you're tired at work, how do you deal with it? Think about the bed that you will lie down at night. Think about the coming weekend. Think about the next holiday trip. Think about the salary in your bank at the end of the month. Okay, tomorrow is Monday, and it's only the 10th day of the month. Okay, but Saturday is going to come by again. And 20 days, only 20 days, is the end of November. Okay, and Christmas holidays is not too far away, right? And sounds very hopeful, doesn't it? And such hope drives us through the weeks and months at work. When I was a baby, to feed me, my dad does late night shifts, and my mum does early morning shifts. I was born in late December, which is the coldest time of the year. So every time my dad had to wake up in the middle of the cold night to feed me, he keeps on saying to himself, "Tomorrow will be a better day." In Cantonese, "Meng tian wei gang ho," "Meng tian wei gang ho," "Meng tian wei gang ho." And that's how he gets by those nights. And now those days are long past. Hope gives people power to endure troubled times. There's people with the hope of purchasing a place to live in Hong Kong, endure hard work, do an extra part-time job, eat plain bread for meals, no traveling abroad for holidays, save up everything just for the hope of securing a place to live. And they could do it because of the hope. And I've seen guys with the hope of getting the girl of his heart endure and do unthinkable things. All the caring, service, sweet words, spending, even insomnia, thinking about her, all because of the hope of getting closer to her. And I've seen parents with the hope of their child growing up well and healthy, endure hard work financially supporting their children, queue up through the night just to apply for certain schools, or even relocate, emigrate to an alien country, all for their kids, and they could do it because of the hope. People have the power to endure when there is hope. My personal experience with the power of hope a lot of times come when I'm hiking and traveling. Going uphill, wow. Totally out of breath. So tiring going uphill. Why do I still do it? Because I hope for the good panoramic view on the top of the hill. And this hope is the power that drives me through the difficult ascent. And afterwards, I still have to go back down. And there's a Cantonese saying, going downhill is harder than going uphill, which is true if you have an unpaved small path, or just try going down stone steps 3 hours straight. It's harder than going up. but I will still press on down because I'm hoping for my home sweet home and the shower that I can take, the food that I can eat when I get there. Last time I mentioned that I took a round trip around North America after I graduated from seminary, and it involved many days of camping and sleeping in the car. A day or few of camping is fun, but doing it for a month or so, no showers, no bed, that's not very fun. But why do I still do it? Because I hope for the fascinating natural beauty which I want to immerse myself into. And I don't have the money to do it if I don't camp or sleep in the car. And I know that when I do have the money, I won't have the holidays to do it. But the hope drives me to go through it and do it. But sometimes our hope could fail us. I've climbed many peaks only to find that there's full of trees and shrubs on the top and the panoramic view is all blocked. Ah! And sometimes you visit a new place with the expectation and you find it totally underwhelming and you wonder why you spent the time, effort, and money to go there. You don't always get the girl and guy you desire, no matter how hard you try. Sometimes the boss gives you a new task 10 minutes before you're supposed to go, or there could be a sudden OT call on your supposed holiday, and your children might not grow up the way you wanted or planned. Is there a hope that will never fail? In our God, we actually do, the so-called good hope. God revealed it. He said it in his unfailing word, which we just read a bit in Daniel, revealing to us the ultimate victory. So we are fighting on a surely victorious side. The Israelites has gone through troubled times. They lost their own nation. They were captives under foreign domination. In the passage we just read, Prophet Daniel provided them with a hope to give them power to hang on and carry on. So let's pray together for the Holy Spirit to illuminate us through God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, we are in troubled times. Let us realize the good hope that we have through your word today, and give us strength to hang on and carry on. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, it was the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. The Israelites, by that time, had been captive under Babylon for over 50 years. Babylonian captivity was a nightmare for the Israelites, and for Daniel as well. Imagine Daniel being a teenage boy, living a carefree life with his parents. And one day the Babylonians came and took him far away from home, from family, from anywhere he's familiar with, inside a palace with foreign people, adults, powerful people, and he was castrated to become a eunuch to serve the king. And any day, poor job performance can lead to death. Any day. And not kneeling down to the golden idols can have him being thrown into the fire. That's Daniel's life since he was a teenager until 50 years. Daniel and the Israelites were facing tyranny in captivity. And at this time, God revealed a vision to Daniel through a dream. Let's go through this dream together. But as I read, I want you to maybe close your eyes and imagine in your mind the picture. I'm going to read the dream. In verse 2, Daniel said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven were stirring up the great sea. So it's a dark night. So try to see it in your mind. You're looking out towards the sea. and it's like a typhoon day. The sea is stirred by the winds. Listen to the waves. Feel the wind. And then you see something coming up from the waters. And four great beasts came out of the sea, different from one another. The first one was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Yeah, look at it. What it's look like. Imagine it. A lion and had eagle's wings. A flying lion, like it's ready to come down to catch you. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. Are you seeing this lion, this beast? And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. Look at this beast, like a bear. Look at the ribs in its mouth, the bloody ribs it's tasting. And it was told, "Arise, devour much flesh." This beast still seems to be hungry and wants more. After this, I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads. Look at this third beast, like a leopard. 4 heads. 4 pairs of eyes looking at one another. The roar, listen to it, for the roar that comes out of 4 mouths. And dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces. Look at the teeth. It bites everything in front of it and crushes everything with its teeth. And stamped what was left with its feet. Everything in front of it is crushed, becomes a puddle of blood and minced meat. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one. So zoom into the head, zoom into the horns, and a little horn just stuck up from the head among the 10. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Okay, continue to zoom into that little horn. 2 eyes on the horn, and a mouth saying arrogant things. Okay, Daniel's dream was definitely a total nightmare. Okay, you guys can wake up now. I hope you can picture it. That was what Daniel saw. Daniel also recorded the interpretation of the vision. So let's read Let me read it. Daniel 7, verse 17. That was the interpretation. It says, "These four great beasts are four kings who shall rise out of the earth." It explained that the four beasts are four kings. Daniel and the Israelites were only enduring the first beast, the first king, and there are three more to come, and so there's still a long, long way. Okay, and then verse 21. "As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them." So the little horn in the dream that has two eyes and one mouth, the saints will fight against this horn and lose. The saints will be defeated. They will be ruled and dominated by this little horn. Then 25. "He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." The saints will be worn out. "And shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into the hand for a time, times, and half a time." This verse mentioned that the saints will be dominated by this little horn for a time, times, and half a time. Okay, the term times can mean year, so some biblical scholars interpret this to mean 1 year, 2 years, and half a year, which adds up to 3.5 years. Most English translation uses the word time instead of year, since the term could also mean a period of time with unspecified duration. So a time, times, and half a time mostly means a rather unspecified long period of time, or an unexpectedly long period of time. So just imagine, okay, I endured one period of time. I'm thinking, okay, it's over now, but there's multiple periods of time after this. So it's longer than you'd expect. God will not solve the problems of Israel for a while. Israel will have a longer time under foreign oppression. So the nightmare is going to go on. The Israelites understand that there are many problems outside of their control. But their first question would naturally be, is it outside of God's control as well? Does God have the ability to save them? Did Yahweh lose and surrender his control to the gods of Babylon? Scripture reveals that God is not unable. God did not lose. Instead, everything was under God's control. It's interesting to observe that most verbs used to describe Daniel's dream are passive verbs. So in verse 4, the first beast's wings were plucked off, and the mind of man was given to it. In verse 5, the second beast was raised up on the side of the first beast and was told to devour more flesh. In verse 6, dominion was given to the third beast. Verse 11, the fourth beast was killed and its body was given over to be burned. And in verse 12, all the beast's dominion was taken away. Their lives were prolonged, and these are all passive verbs. So who is behind these actions? It seems to imply that it was God himself taking the actions. So the trouble does not come because God is out of control of the situation. But okay, if God is behind these things, it's kind of hard to believe that God will give rise to and empower beasts to torture his people. This leads to the second question. If everything is under God's control, then does God not love the Israelites? Is God doing this on purpose to torture them? The answer is also no. The saints will be given to the little horn for a time, times, and half a time. Normally, with the threefold pattern of the Israelite language, one would expect things to climax at the third repetition. So normally it would be a period of time, multiple periods of time, and then forever and ever, amen. Normally, that's the way. But now, it's a time, times, and half a time. It communicates a strong message that this will not go on forever. It's going to take a while. After one period of time, you think it's over. There's more periods of time to come, so not as quick as you'd expect. But when you think, oh, it's getting on and on, going forever and ever, suddenly, it's only half a time left, which means it's going to end soon. God will make it end quicker than you think. God's will is not for the Israelites to suffer. God's will is for the Israelites to be saved. God revealed to Daniel and allowed Daniel to spread the word because God wanted Israelites to have hope when it feels hopeless, to give them strength to hang on and carry on. If God doesn't love the Israelites, God could torture them for a time, multiple times, and forever and ever. God can also say nothing and give them no hope at all. Well, why didn't God destroy the beasts quickly? God didn't reveal it. So we don't really know. Nobody knows why. But no matter what, Daniel wanted the Israelites to understand that God still loves them and concerns over their suffering. God gives Israelites hope in their times of trouble, giving them strength to endure through it. And what is the hope? We'll have to use our imagination again to the vision of the latter half of the dream. So, dream again. And I'll go through the latter half. Okay, first, remember the beasts and how they look. The four beasts. While they are out there haunting people, at this time, Daniel saw, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. Okay, so look at the Ancient of Days. Look at the white clothing. The hair like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. Look at the throne that the Ancient of Days took his seat. The wheels and the flame. Feel the heat that comes from it. The warmth that comes from it. A thousand thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. All those angelic beings, a whole army of angelic beings surround him and takes his orders. And with the white hair like wool. It's like a judge. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. So the case scrolls are opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. Look at the beast being smitten, losing all strength and power. As for the rest of the beasts, Their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. Look at this son of man, just like a normal person. But definitely it's not a normal person, since he was descending by the clouds from the sky. Hey, look at the clouds. Look at this son of man. This looks like normal a person. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. So God the Father made this person king. Everybody came, coming to worship this man. Envision it in your mind, the people coming. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Okay, let's wake up again and look at the interpretation of the vision in verse 26 and 27. Okay, this is just an artist's depiction. Okay, verse 26. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. So that refers to the enemy of the saints. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. So that's the interpretation. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. That is the saints, the people of God. So although Israel's trouble will go on for a period of time, in the end, God's people will be victorious and receive an everlasting kingdom. God, through Daniel, reveals to the Israelites, okay, this is troubled times. Endure through it. Don't assimilate with the pagans. And such endurance is worth it, because in the end, God's people will be victorious. Those who endure is hopeful to receive the everlasting kingdom. This is the hope, and this hope gives them the power to drive them to endure through captivity and stay faithful to worship God. Prophet Daniel revealed the victory of the Son of Man to give people hope to hang on and carry on. Daniel's revelation teaches us an important truth. A lot of times we believe that being the people of God makes all things bright and beautiful. This is not totally incorrect, but that is only the ultimate result. The truth is, God has prepared for his saints first suffering and disaster, and only until the end, when the Son of Man appears, all things become bright and beautiful. Those who follow Jesus cannot deny carrying his own cross. And it has always been the case for God's people. In the beginning, God's people first experienced slavery in Egypt, the terror of Pharaoh's army, and then the harsh wilderness, and finally the mighty Canaanite forces before they enter and settle the promised land. Well, during the process, Israelites mumbled to return to Egypt. They wanted to avoid war with the Canaanites, and many lost God's blessing that comes only at the end. Well, in the middle, God opened a path in the sea, provided manna, guided them with the pillar of cloud and fire, and kept on assuring them that God is reliable, to encourage them to endure and follow until they reach the promised land. So that was God's people before us. God's people in the latter days will be the same. Those in Daniel's time, the same. They were tortured for a while before they could enjoy the kingdom. But in the process, God also gave hope and showed his faithfulness as encouragement to them. So it's the same for Jesus Christ also. He first suffered before receiving glory. And it will be the same for anyone, including us, who follow Jesus. Daniel's revelation makes it true that God has always given hope to his people, and it is Jesus who fulfills the victory of the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man in Daniel's vision. So Jesus said it himself in Daniel, in Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 63 and 64. Before the high priest. But Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." So, being trialed by the high priest, Jesus did not only confess that he is Messiah, the King of Israel, he also admitted that he is the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, exactly as Daniel dreamed, implying that he will receive the everlasting kingdom next, coming up, and he will be worshipped by all. Jesus fulfills the victory of the Son of Man. In fact, it is through Jesus that God reveals to his people that he is reliable and gave his people a good hope. Jesus is the Son of Man in Daniel's dream. According to the gospel account, wherever Jesus set foot, all evil spirits, demons, surrender to his feet. Jesus prevailed in temptation and remained without sin. He healed whoever comes before him. And he calmed the stormy seas, fed those who are hungry, and most importantly, he resurrected from the dead. So Jesus won it all. The resurrection of Jesus is the clearest sign that God is victorious over the evil one and sin. The evil one is no match in front of Jesus, the Son of Man. The victory of Jesus through resurrection is also our good hope for today. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 to 58. The whole chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is about the resurrection of Jesus. And this is the final two verses of the whole chapter. And it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Because of the victory given to us through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, be steadfast, immovable, and do the works of the Lord, because it's not in vain. The things that are established now will have eternal value. The lives that you bless can extend beyond eternity and not run down by death. So think about it. In the eternal kingdom, people coming to you, thanking you, "Thank you for introducing me to Jesus. That's why I'm here with you today." People coming to you, "Thank you for blessing me during the time we were temporarily in our physical bodies and on this earth." The value extends to eternity, and we can count it. We have a whole eternity to count it together. How worthwhile is laboring for God? It has eternal values and returns. And this is all because God's victory is sure. And it was demonstrated to us already once before through Jesus' resurrection. Jesus fulfills the victory of the Son of Man. The truth in Daniel's revelation is true to us today. We need to hope and live in the victory of the Son of Man. We face troubled times as sinners in a sinful world. And as saints, we strive in the sanctification process. We need to bear the cross of Jesus and suffer. Yet, not all of Daniel's vision is fulfilled today. These trauma and suffering are still here, and maybe for a while, but it will not last forever. We have hope that things will change when Jesus, the Son of Man, returns, just as Daniel mentioned and revealed. And that will be the time of the ultimate victory of God and God's people. It will be the time God's people receive the everlasting kingdom. Faithfulness and endurance till the end will be rewarded. It is the thing to hope for that is worth the wait. The resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that this day will certainly come. I believe that we all agree that spiritual warfare is a great struggle. When you try to be Christ's witness, people will reject you. It requires a lot of patience, a lot of prayer, kneeling down, maybe even in tears, explaining, a lot of love, a lot of living out and showing to the people what a spirit-filled life is really like, all its fruits, before people might be convinced that Jesus is indeed trustworthy and the true Lord. And even so, some will still reject. When seeking the kingdom, its values, there's so many obstacles. Those with vested interests will oppose you. It requires a lot of self-sacrifice. And worse of all, a lot of times, no matter how hard you try and how much you sacrifice, you don't seem to reap the results. When all the effort don't pay back, all the labor seems to be in vain and meaningless. Like when you look at ourselves, the church, problems in the church never seem to cease, at least. We strive to love more and be more Christ-like, but why are still there rifts and division among brothers and sisters? Why do some church members seem to never grow spiritually, no matter how hard I help them? Can the church really be holy? And problems in our society seem to never cease too. And sometimes it seems to be getting worse day by day. Poverty, oppression, violence, hatred. No matter how hard the church concerns and tries to act justly, the world is still filled with sin and injustice. And the church is totally helpless facing social issues. Can the world really be changed by God's love? Why is people still rejecting it? And looking towards ourselves, too, problems seems to never cease. Okay, I strive for sanctification. I want God to direct my life, to love God and love my neighbors. And then the world is just full of temptations, and there are a lot of weaknesses inside myself. And the evil one is disturbing and attacking, and I keep seeing the filth and wickedness inside me. And why do I keep on making the mistakes that I hate myself doing? Have you ever asked, will I ever be a true saint that is holy? Sometimes there seems to be no hope. All these problems, even after following Christ, the struggles towards sanctification, spiritual warfare, illness, decaying of the physical body, relationships torn apart due to sin, difficulties in being Christ's witness, injustice in the world, division in the body of Christ, all these seem to be outside of our power to change. And a lot of times the problems you face increase after you follow Christ, because you begin to resist the devil and not avoid and comply to his schemes. So problems seem to, you begin to feel it after you follow Christ. Some Christians, the more they try to live our true spirituality, the more they are discontent with the world, the more they are discontent with the church and themselves, and has become even more hopeless. It doesn't seem to work. Our faith doesn't seem to help or change anything. Sometimes it's like that. Will we truly win the spiritual war? It doesn't look like it. It seems like the evil one is winning instead of us, God and his saints. And if I'm not really able to make a true impact and bring about change, why strive so hard to fight? Why resist the devil? Why do I not just yield and live a more carefree life in my little world away from God and things that he wants me to care for and concern for? If you are truly suffering and struggling today in your personal sanctification, in your quest to serve, to love and be witness, and to seek God's kingdom and change the world, if you are struggling, or even doubts in faith, I congratulate you, because it shows that you are truly a saint, a member of the people of God, because this is what the people of God will face. And you are fighting the good fight in spiritual warfare, just like the people of God before us, how they are struggling. The ones that are coming out of Egypt, or those Israelites in captivity, the promised land is waiting for you. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Have you lost hope? Have you given up in your endurance to be faithful in following Christ? Remember the resurrection of Jesus, the victory of Jesus that has already happened. Remember Daniel's vision that the Son of Man will come with clouds from the sky and have his ultimate victory. Troubled times will probably continue for a while, and we still have to struggle. The current problems will not be solved yet until the Son of Man comes. Suffering is the unavoidable path of following Christ as a saint. And being a saint will definitely lead to spiritual warfare, struggle with fleshly desires, with self-centeredness, self-satisfaction. And as saints, we got to deny ourselves, and it's a torture. But nobody can follow Jesus but denying himself and carry the cross. As saints, we need to accept that this is what the narrow path is like. Jesus went through it himself, and he understands the struggles. We have to accept that problems will persist, and this is still time for suffering, as we are still waiting for the Son of Man to come. The problem is not that there's suffering, but how we face the suffering. Some avoid the suffering and give up, but then the good hope has no meaning for those who are not suffering. You're not suffering. Why do you need hope? You already have it. And you will not have part in the hope when it finally realizes if you avoid the suffering. Others take it too hard, lose hope, and get defeated. God wants us to face our destiny as saints with hope. This hope is good and precious because the road is narrow, difficult, and long. And only when you have hope, we have the power to hang on and carry on until the day we hope for finally comes, the victory of the Son of Man. So, struggle, suffering is norm rather than exception. But despite all the struggles, we have the good hope. With the good hope, we can fight spiritual warfare, knowing that we are on the victorious side. I truly wish that when we hope and live in the victory of the Son of Man, it becomes your strength to hang on and carry on, follow Christ faithfully. It's all worth it. It's not in vain. We will not struggle and suffer forever. Jesus, the Son of Man, will surely return, coming on the clouds to put an end to all this. And on that day, we will be accountable to Christ, and we will receive our reward for our endurance and faithfulness. It's all worth it. We don't know when Jesus, the Son of Man, will come, but let us remember God's revelation and the hope he's given us. Hope and live in the victory of Jesus, Son of Man. Let us have strength to choose to be faithful and endure till the end, not avoiding the suffering. Choose to bear the cross. Choose to deny yourself. Choose to love others. Embrace the narrow path and wait upon the day of our deliverance. It's not easy. It's kind of a torture, but it's not in vain. It's worth it to struggle till the end. If you're in troubled times today, don't give up. Hang on to the hope we've got and carry on fighting like we are on the victorious side. Wait upon our Savior, and he is risen, and he will return. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the good hope. We are facing troubled times, but help us to remember your revelation and the hope you've given us so that we may have strength to overcome, be faithful, and endure till the end. We believe that you will fulfill your promises. You are able and under control. We wait upon you and continue to live for you, being salt and light of the world every day in whatever circumstance. Come, Lord Jesus. And it is in the same name that we victoriously declare our prayers are heard and will certainly be answered. Amen.